ready to go.
Yeah, well, I don't know about all that, but we're here. And I'll praise God that, you know, we are here tonight, you know, and what a blessing it is and all that, you know. And the pastor called me at the beginning of the week. He says, I need you to fill in for me. Well, okay. And all that. So I said, okay, and all that. You know, and I said, what am I going to preach on, or what am I going to talk about? And, you know, and I'm writing all this stuff. I got probably that many sticky notes down there, two or three other pages, and just thing. But one of the thing that came kept coming to mind is when Tim got up here. And I got a ring down here. So anyway, so Tim got up here, and he said some words, well, you know, a couple weeks ago. And I said, you know, it kind of, anything ever get under your skin? I says, you know, I'm a Christian. I do all the things I'm supposed to be doing and stuff like that, you know. And, you know, I've been a Christian for 30-some years. People in here have been here for 40, 50 years serving the Lord. You know, so, you know, what's the, why is he coming down so hard on us? And then I know why. Because I wasn't doing what I was supposed to be doing. And he brought that to my attention. You know, he says, you know, I got a bad knee, bad back, and stuff like that. But there are other things that we can do. Yes, I might not be able to go do that all the time, but there are other things that we can do. And, you know, many of you serve this church greatly. I mean, it's a blessing. And thank you for, you know, for all the service that you do and stuff like that. But, you know, what's the main goal of the church is to help people come to know Christ as their Savior, you know, and that to grow in Christ. And, you know, and that's what we need to be doing and all that. So, again, you know, so... You know, Kay and I have been here for 15 years now. Some of you have been here longer. And, you know, the attendance on coming and doing the outreach, you know, it's been like this. You know, we need it to be like this, but it's been like that, you know, and all that. But again, you know, it's something that really God put in my heart, you know, and said, why aren't I doing it more? You know, so our faith isn't built on our feelings or wishful thinking, you know. It's our faith is doing. You know, we have to put our faith in practice, you know, and that's what he wants us to know. So, you know, and it rests on something solid. Our faith is on something that is solid, and that's God. He's real, and we have to remember that. And sometimes we kind of let our thinking go off in the wrong direction and stuff. Not that we're sinning or anything. It's just, you know, maybe we're just getting complacent. Maybe we're just getting a little lazy or whatever it is. But you know what? Just because... You know, I'll be 72 years old here in a few weeks, and she's 75, and many of you are old. But, you know, we can still go out. We have the wisdom that God's given us over the years to be able to help these folks and all that. So, again, so God had to remind me that he's eternal. You know, that faith must be built on the simple confession that God, the Lord, is real. And he always exists and is indeed, God noted as Moses in his prayer in Psalms 92. Before the mountains were brought forth, or even thou hadst formed the earth and the world, and from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. You know, I said, wow. You know, and God sent somebody my way, God sent somebody your way, and they help us in our faith in God. So, but it takes faith on our part to believe these. And that's what the writer of Hebrews says, but without faith, it is impossible to please who? It's impossible to please God. For he cometh to God, must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So, what does that mean, diligently seeking? That's where I'm at in my life, is what am I doing to diligently seek the Lord? So that's when we think about, what are you doing diligently to seek the Lord? Let's pray. Father, we just love you and praise you. Thank you again for this time, Lord, Lord, we've been able to gather today just to talk about you and just these reminders, Lord, that are in your word, Lord, that we just need to have our hearts focused on you and, Lord, doing those things that you would have us to do, Lord. And, Lord, just to have the mind of the lost, Lord, that they need Christ, Lord. So, Father, we just pray you touch our hearts, Lord. Help us to go from our minds to those things that are there, to put them in our hearts, Lord, that we'd have that compassion and all that Tim was talking about a couple weeks back. So, Father, we just thank you for all that you do. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So again, when we think about that, you know, God is eternal, and God is also He's a God of love, is he not? And so when we think about that, he loves us just as much as he loves those lost folks that are out there and all that. So, you know, that's something I have to tell myself, you know. Somebody loved me enough to come and tell me about Christ and all that. And we have some really good witnesses of folks and doing it. And so, again, those things are important and all that. Some of the best times I've ever had in witnessing is when I was standing in line. And, you know, you get talking to somebody, and the next thing you're both shouting and praising God, and everybody there is like, what is wrong with you folks? But that's what he wants us to be. You know, we don't all have to, you know, you don't have to worry about doing the door hanging or walking somebody. You know, there are many ways that we can be a witness for God. And that's one of them. And that's what John tells us in John, 1 John 4, 6 through it. I have it all written down in here to save time from this, as the pastor was said the other day. So I have it all written. That's why I do my lessons for the nursing homes too. So again, so I'm going to be reading from 1 John 4, 6 through 8. Very familiar verses and all that. So we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us. Amen? He that is not God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not, he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. So again, you know, no matter how old we are, and stuff that, you know, God wants not, he doesn't stop loving us. Even though sometimes as we get into our senior years and we can't do what we used to could do, you know, God still loves us. And God still has something for us to do, does he not? Yeah. So again, even when our physical part slows down, you know, God can use us. So again, so then we know that God is a just God, is he not? Moses wrote, he talking about the rock, is his work is perfect for all ways are judgment, a God of truth and without iniquity, just as right is he. And that's Deuteronomy 32:4. So again, everything God does is right. You know, sometimes that's hard for our minds to accept that, because we try to make a comparison, but we can't compare God to man in no sense of the way. Sometimes we try to bring God down to our level, and it doesn't work. And that's what the world, and that's part of the reason why the world's in a mess today, is because they're trying to bring God down to their own level. So God is just, you know, and there will be a just day for everybody. And that's what we have to remember, you know. And so we want, as Brother Rundle was talking about the other day, about pleasing God. You know, we want to please God, you know, with our lives and everything that we do. So again, so we know that God is just. And then God is all-knowing. You know, King Solomon says this, the eyes of the Lord are in every place beholding the evil and the good. So everything we see going on today, yeah, God knows about it. And he's well aware of what's going on. You know, and he has a plan. You know, and I was talking with the pastor a while back. You know, I just have a news anxiety. Anybody have news anxiety? You know, because of everything going on. So he sent me a website of a pastor. And he says, you know, I listened to the preaching that he had, and he says, you know, A1's not going to knock an A in the world, nuclear blast is not going to end the world, climate change is not going to end the world. And then he went on to say that, you know, that the Lord is going to come back again. I said, yeah, you're right. And, you know, when he's talking about this, and then there's going to be a final judgment. You know, and the just will get what they deserve, and the unjust will get what they deserve. You know, and again, there was more to that article than just that. That was just a real simple. But again, that helped me to remember that God is just, because I'll sit there and scream at that TV, there's no accountability, there's no accountability, and stuff like that. So anybody else do that? So we know that God is just. So then we know that God is all-knowing. You know, he knows everything. He knows what's going on. He knows where we are and all that. So, again, we can't hide from him, as the psalmist says. So, again, with that, we know that God is everywhere. So wherever we go, he's with us. Just like those that flight that crashed there, the bombers and all the folks, God was there with them and all that. Why did that happen? I cannot tell you. But, you know, we know that God sees and he knows, and that things happen for a reason. Those lives did not end just because of something they had done. God had, there's a reason by those things, you know, and it's hard for us in our small minds to see God working, and how is God going to work in something like that? So we know God is all-knowing, God is everywhere, and then God is powerful, is he not? And then Psalms 147, 4 and 5 says this, "He that telleth the number of the stars, he calleth them by the names. Great is our Lord, and great of power. His understanding is infinite." Oof. You know, just think, can we imagine how big this universe is? You know, we can't. I mean, we can see so far and stuff like that. But just imagine that we have a God that's in control of all, knows all that. He knows everything that's going on. You know, and so, you know, when we think about his wisdom and how it's so great and all that, but, you know, well, one day we'll experience in that. And then the prophet Jeremiah tells us this in 32:17. "Ah, Lord, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power, and stretched out the arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee." Think about that. There's nothing too hard for thee. You know, there are things that we can't do ourselves. And then, you know, and then I hate to admit it, is the older we get, the harder it is to do things, isn't it, Brother Bill? It sure enough is. So, but again, we, you know, so we know that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us too. So then we know the seventh thing is God is faithful. No matter how far anyone strays, he never gives up on us. I think about that. You know, I didn't get saved until I was 38, but I thank God that he never gave up on me. You know, I ran from him. I knew what I should have been doing. I went to church. Mom took me to church, did all those things I should have been. And then when I was 16 years old, I knew it all. And so it was downhill from there until I made a complete mess of myself. And then God says, "Well, are you ready?" And that's when I knew that there was something better than what I was trying to do. So, you know, so God is faithful to us and all that. And you know, when we think about that, so the prophet Isaiah writes this in 41:10, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee. I will uphold thee with thy right hand of my righteousness." So why should we be afraid to go out and converse with the public about Christ? Are we really that busy? You know, Kay and I are retired and stuff like that, and I've made the comment many times. We have three basic stops: church, grocery store, and the doctor's office. That's our mainstay of our life, it seems like, and all that. But are we really too busy to tell the folks out there about Christ? There's some way, shape, we just read a bunch of scriptures. God's with us wherever we go. He's there with us and all that. So, you know, when we think about it, so I considered this matter again with Tim and all that, and I had to change my own attitudes about that. I had to go to the Lord and ask for forgiveness and get right with him. So this doesn't mean that the Lord doesn't love us anymore when we go against him. You know, it's just that he's trying to get us back on that straight and narrow path and all that. And so, and then, you know, when we are going out and all, we'll have disruptions and all that. You know, we had a thriving ministry before COVID. I mean, we were going to, I think it was 9 nursing homes, 13 different dates in a month. That's what I retired for, to do all that. And then it all came to an end a couple of years after I retired and all that. So God has a plan for us. And he's got us back on track, and maybe he had to slow us down for health reasons and stuff like that. But, you know, it was truly a blessing and all that. So, you know, and then I've also thought, again, about coming back to the many years that we served the Lord. You know, and I said, I remember Doc knocking on doors, you know, and I remember going out in the country where these guys got guns and they look at you funny. You know, all you got to do is just stumble a little bit, you know, and they're ready to shoot you and all that. But, you know, but to tell them about Jesus. And just like she said, God was there. They listened, and then off we went. You know, so that's what, you know, those are the things that we want to do those things, you know. So, you know, what we've done in the past is great, and we need to reflect on that and share those experiences with one another as we've been doing, especially on Wednesday nights and all the testimonies. But those things, Lord, are important as part of this church. You know, everything that we do, again, as I said earlier, is important for the church and for the furtherance of the church and all that. You know, you think about many of us, Lord, were, you know, that serving the Lord, you know, we've been teachers through the years and deacons and, you know, community outreachers and bus captains and bus drivers and helpies in the nursing home and cleaners and grass cutters and painters and carpenters and plumbers and gardeners and mechanics and all those things, decorators, all those things. It's all for the glory of God of what we do here to help bring folks to Christ and all that. So through all that, you know, I was thinking of that. So with that in mind, you know, I wanted something to share something with you about our busy week that we had. Last week we had five of our grandchildren, four grandchildren, one great-grandchildren, graduated or moved up. Two graduated high school, two went to the next grade, and then the great-grandchild, she went to kindergarten. First grade. She went to first grade. Man, they're growing too fast. And all that. So we got to go to many different ceremonies. And they were great. Kids were great. Sang great. The speeches were, you know, with all fine-tuned and looked good and had the right words and all that. But guess what was missing? God. God was missing. Two phrases that I can remember of all the speeches we heard and stuff like that. God bless America. And Godspeed. That's all that was said. And I have a thing, I didn't bring it tonight, but I have, and it says, it's talking about a graduate, I am. And I bet you every nice word or everything that could be said about another person was in that. But nothing about God. That's really hit me to say, that's why our society is where we're at. That's why, you know, we're too focused on you know, what's going on around us, you know, the American dream, fulfilling the American dream, and all. There's nothing wrong with those things, but we got to put God in there. And we're not doing that. And also, you know, so with when we think about that, you know, another thing, what kind of conversations when we do things, what are we talking about when we go out with others? And, you know, a couple of times, again, when we're out there, we need to, you know, pinpoint that God is the reason I'm here talking to you. Think about that. But you know, whoa, I don't like those types of things. That makes me nervous to talk to people. I don't have the time and all that. But you know what? If we can make that time to do fun things, go on vacation, I can take the time to go out and do that. You know? So again, so, you know, also in our church there are many people who love to come out and visit. Kay and I got to visit. We went and visited Jean Blake. We haven't heard about Jean Blake in a long time. She was a faithful sit back there, Sunday school, did all their attendance and stuff like she attended this church many years. She got sick and we was all hurried to take her some food, which is great. But how? Jean, how you doing today? Why don't you come on in and have a cup of coffee? We did it. How many of you got in your car to come to church today? How many of you got in your car and went to work today? How many of you got in your car and may have stopped to get gas? How many of you got in your car and maybe went out to eat tonight? Do we have an excuse for why we couldn't go to Jean Blake's house and just talk to her? We went and visited Barbara's at. Same. I mean, when we got into, they were, I mean, if the smile was any bigger, I don't know what it would be. You know, and what does it show? It shows that we care for them, don't we? It shows that we care for them. You know, and there are many others that are out that used to come or can't come anymore that we need to make the visit.
And if you can't come on Saturday and do those things, take an hour that Saturday and go knock on that door and talk to them. You'll be so blessed the rest of the day you won't know what to do with yourself. Oh, guarantee. And that's what he wants. God takes hard hearts that we had once, and he softened them into loving hearts. And that's what he wants us to be. And what's Jesus say in John 13, 34, and 35? You've heard this. Every verse I've read, everybody's heard it. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. But this shall all men know, that you are my disciples, if you love one another. Are we disciples of Jesus? Anybody in here claim not to be a Christian? And I'm not trying to put a guilt trip on anybody. The Lord was trying to show me is get it out of here and get it down here. When it gets down here, that's when God can use us. That's when we don't have that fear or anything. Oh, let's go see Gene and then we'll go to the store. Let's go see Barbara and then we'll go out to eat. Or why don't we pick up something and go over to Barbara's house and share it with her? Those are things that God wants us. So God is well aware of the changes that we go through in our lives and as we grow older and all that. And he knows what we can and can't do.
That's right.
How many of us make excuses? I often ask, what's a lost person going to say to God why they didn't come to the Lord, come to know Christ? When we go to that throne for our works, why didn't you go visit Dave? He needed some help. So those are things, that we've had so much preaching and stuff the last, I guess, year or so. You can go back a lot about serving the Lord and going out into the community and stuff like that. So we have to remember those things about God. God doesn't change. He's the same. Aren't you glad he's the same?
Amen.
That he was yesterday and that he will be today. Even when I slip up tomorrow or something, he's there. He's going to say, well, let's get back in step here. So again, Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not." James 1:17 says, "With whom," talking about God, "is no variableness." Hebrews 13:5, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." Amen. Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus is the same yesterday and today forever." Whew. We change, do we not? We change because of sin, right? We get older. We have aches and pains and stuff. Technology helps us along the way. Going to get a new knee. I'll be a bionic person between the shoulder and the knee before long. But again, that's what he's trying to impress. Let me work through you. You can't do it yourself, but I can do it through you. And all that. Psalms 102:27, "But thou," meaning God, "art the same." Numbers 23:19, "God is not man that he should not lie." He can't lie. He's not going to tell you a fib. If he tells you something, guess what? It's going to happen. Amen?
That's right.
Isaiah 48, "The word of our God shall stand forever." There's nothing new. This has all been in here. Is it not? Now the world tries to change that. But we know that this is what God wants us to be a part of. Now about this one, Romans 8:28, "We know that all things work together for good of them that love God." We like God to bless us and all that, but you know what? We need to be out there blessing them so he can bless us even more. We wonder why the church isn't filled up on a Sunday morning. Not just our church, but all the churches out there. We're not the only church that's going through the, you know, not going out in the community as much as we should. And all that. And then Romans 8, 38 and 39. Nothing, again, shall be able to separate us from what? The love of God. So that's the God that lives within us through the Holy Spirit. That guy's living in here. And that's why he wants us to serve him and worship him and learn about him and stuff like that. And we've had a good start about it. We need to sing praises and all that. I listened today for music for an hour just to try to get my heart right so I can think clearly and stuff like that because of all the distractions and stuff that's going on. The prophet Jeremiah emphasizes more truths of God's when we can count on Lamentations 3, 21, 23. And I'm sure you guys have read this before. This I recall to my mind, therefore I have hope. It's the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassion faileth not. They are new mercy morning, great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore I will hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. You see that? He's our hope. The Lord's mercies are forever. He doesn't change. And even though when we make mistakes, that mercy's there. That grace is there. His compassion, it fails not. I would venture to say my compassion fails occasionally. And it's not as it should be. Again, his faithfulness is never ending. It never fails. It'll be the same tomorrow as it will be next week. So again, he's our hope, and that we need to not get ahead of him. How many of us, I've gone down that, gotten ahead of God, and he's had to pull the reins back and say, whoa, let me work, and then you go forward. And that, so that's what he's talking about. Let him work within us and all that. So, still got 30 minutes. Wow. So when we go out to visit and stuff like that, well, I don't know what to say when I go out to visit, And Pastor James was very instrumental in teaching us all, the Romans Road, how to say all the right things. But sometimes we have to go on the moment. What's going on in the moment? So when you go in there, are you going to be genuinely concerned for the person? Do they see that in you? Knocking on the door says a lot. Just knocking on the door, say, hey, how you doing? Have you offered any type of help? Spiritual material, maybe some help around the house, those types of things. Did I listen to them, what they had to say? Did I pray with them, asking God to intervene and grant healing and guidance direction? Or was you doing this? That's insulting. You go to somebody's house and you're visiting them and you're looking and say, man, it's time to go. Did you have a hope in God and understand about the great love for them that he has for them? Did you help them to say, hey, this is God, give them the assurance of God. Show them some things in the scripture. The encouraging hope of the scriptures. Do people see how much you trust God? Do they notice your dependence on God's faithfulness? Did they see a calmness in you that comes from Christ? Well, how do we get all that stuff? That's when it comes from here down to here. When it gets in here, then the Lord Jesus can work. And that's one thing the pastor's been talking about, that letting Christ work from our hearts. And then nothing will have, the concerns that we have will be set aside because Jesus already got those, but he's got that concern. So could they see that you had surrendered and been obedient heart to God? So you're knocking on doors, and that is all great. But you know, well, we can also be that track, that walking track of everything we do. We can be that door hanger. And yeah, you might not be able to remember all the scriptures and all that, but you know, you can tell them about the love of God and how much he wants them to be a part of his kingdom. So those are some of the thoughts that I had when Tim had his little spiel, got under my skin, went home and powdered a little bit and all that. And then, you know, I says, you know what? You know, it's not about me. You know, it's not about you. It's all about him working through us. You know, and that's what he wants. That's what he's desiring. You know that. You know, what's the Holy Spirit's job? One of the things he does is bring the scriptures to mind to us. So if we're willing and we're working out there and we're telling people about Christ, you watch those verses that you learned many years ago come to mind. And maybe you have to paraphrase them. But you know what? You can say, this is what it says, but let's go to this and actually see what God says.
Amen.
That's what he wants. And all. So again, and that again, my whole goal was to encourage us in our hearts. You know, because I know I needed it, and I needed to get back on track. And even as we work in the nursing home, some of the things we're doing in there, I have to readjust them. Readjust my whole thought process and, you know, letting them see Christ within us. And, you know, when that happens, you know, it's all about what God wants to do in our lives. You know, and then we'll say, man, why don't we get visitors? Why don't we get more visitors? But you know what? If God's working through us, you see the visitors start coming. Amen? I know Doug and
June.
Doug and June. I want to say Gene. Doug and June. They do a lot. They give a lot of tracks out of restaurants and stuff like that. And that's what it's about. Yeah, if you're sitting and you have the waiter or waitress, hey, let me share this with you. You know, God loves you. Take a look at this. You know, she works with a lot of the folks too with the halfway houses and all those things. But you got to have that. We got to have that willing heart. We got to be more than just coming to church and hearing the messages and going home. It's got to be more than that. That's part of being a Christian, and what, but it needs to be more than that. We need to let him work right here. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you. And thank